This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Well, this is George G, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, Strong and Powerful John Austinson. John, are you ready to do this?
George, let's do it. Great to be back with you.
Yeah, excited to have you back on. John is the CEO of FranBridge Consulting. He's a Forbes contributor on the subject of franchising, and he is the author of Non-Food Franchising. John, tell us a little about your personal life, some more about your work, why you do what you do.
Absolutely. No, appreciate you having me back on, George. Based here in Atlanta, Georgia, and I've got a wife and 3 young kids, and we stay pretty active here in the community. But I'm blessed to get to do what I do, and that's helping people step into business ownership, either for the first time or maybe they're building out a portfolio and they're stepping into a new opportunity, both entrepreneurs and investors all around the country. And it's a lot of fun for me to open up their eyes to this world of what I call non-food franchising. And what I found is when people hear the term franchise, they think fast food, and yet there's so many more opportunities out there in different industries, which I know we'll touch on in just a minute. And so really educating and helping them understand what are those tangible steps to take to match up with the right opportunity there in their area that's going to be the best fit for what they're looking to do on a day-to-day basis.
Nice. Well, I appreciate that. So is there just a best franchise that if I get into this one, it's going to work, or is it really dependent on fit?
It depends on fit. I mean, we've got a lot of great ones. We work with over 600 different brands out there. It's a wide array of industries, from health and wellness to property services. It's been a huge one for us, a lot of niches within that, to oil changes, to businesses that support kids, pets, the older population. What I'm seeing out there is people want understandable businesses that are non-trendy, that are cash flowing, that aren't going to go anywhere, that are somewhat recession resistant, Amazon resistant, COVID resistant in some cases. It's kind of those non-sexy niches. And so it's things like dumpsters and insulation and gutters and, things that people are always going to need, things like senior care, oil changes. I'd call these non-sexy, but they're understandable, they're needed. And we just see all different types of backgrounds all around the country stepping into them. So yeah, certainly there are some that we like more than others. I'd say of the 600 we work with, there's probably a top 50, that we're really focused in on, that we just think are the best of the best, have the right franchisor leadership team. They have the best financial models. They've got the true competitive advantages within their given industry. And those are the ones we kind of steer our clients towards.
That makes a ton of sense. You mentioned not Amazon, and it just got me thinking the percentage of the younger generations that are like, oh, I'm going to start my own business. I'm just going to do drop shipping, or I'm going to do fulfillment by Amazon, or whatever it might be. How do you think about that? Or what do you think about that?
Certainly it is interesting. I mean, we've been doing this long enough. We see a lot of different case studies, and we've had clients that say, hey, we've gotten in bed with Amazon. We've gone really deep. It's been a good living for us, but now there's a whole lot of Amazon's got that upper hand, and they're very nervous about any changes that could be coming down the pipeline. We had a client last year that was, he's in his mid 40s up in Rochester, New York, John Bradley, that came to us, and he was a pharmacist by trade, and he had built up a FedEx routing business on the side, delivering largely Amazon goods. And he had 27 trucks, had built up a nice little empire, But he said, hey, I'm ready to diversify my portfolio. I want to get into something different. I wanted to get into home services. And we ultimately matched him up with a great, great opportunity thereafter. And we introduced him to about 10, 12 different opportunities. He goes through the process and finds that best fit for him. So, I see a lot of people that are looking to get an online business going because on paper they think that's easier and looks good. And there are certainly some viable options out there. We also see a lot of people looking for resales. They say, hey, that sounds better than starting something fresh. In our book, Non-Food Franchising, there's a chapter dedicated to resales and how we think about those and the pros and cons of buying an existing business versus starting one new, but under the franchise umbrella. So we kind of delve into that as well.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. When and anytime you hear horror stories about people that have big internet businesses and then the algorithm changes or whatever it might be and their revenue drops by a large percentage, very, very meaningful. Talk about how a lot of these big companies, you're using their rails essentially, and they do have the upper hand. How is that different with some of the franchises that you're working with?
Yeah, with a good franchisor, there's trade-offs to everything. However, it's our humble belief that franchising does represent a better path to business ownership for most people. And you just look at the pure success rates out there. It's not even close between franchises and non-franchises. But some of the reasons behind that, again, I say good franchise. They're not all created equal, just like any industry. But when you've got a strong franchisor, that's a business partner for you. You're in business for yourself, not by yourself. That franchisor, if you're running more of an executive model where you're managing the manager, they're kind of tag teaming with you to manage that manager and serve as the technical resource. You've got other franchisees that are somewhat the peer group where you're exchanging best practices. You've got a playbook, that path to profitability from day one. You start marching towards it. It's all about executing. And then you also get to trade at a higher multiple typically on the exit than a non-franchise business. There's been some really interesting studies to support that. And so again, maybe your hands are tied a little bit more so as far as, you can't put your thumbprints all over the business. However, any good franchisor is still going to let you test different marketing vehicles or try different ideas. So there's some good flexibility, but that's one of those things we help our clients discover as they go through the process and understand what is that best fit for them.
What popped into my head was that discipline equals freedom. So you have people that are entrepreneurial that want to have their fingerprints on things, but knowing that this is there's a playbook that's proven that if I execute on these steps that I'm going to, obviously there's no guarantees, have success, going to get the cash flow. I've got this peer group. I'm able within this framework to personalize things and scratch that entrepreneurial itch without having to do everything.
Yeah, you just think about it. If you were starting a business, you'd have to go there and start running marketing, some kind of customer acquisition. Well, you've got no data from which to start with. And instead, the franchisor has launched a lot of similar looking businesses all around the country in similar markets. And they know from a large data set, how to optimize that advertising day one. So, there's just a lot of little intangible benefits as you think about getting that business off the ground.
In terms of the peer group or just support, from if it's I have a question or I need some accountability, how does that vary from, I imagine it varies from brand to brand?
It does. And I've been a franchisor myself, headed up the Shelf Genie franchise system in the past. And we were there. I mean, the better our franchisees did, the better we did. And so we built out a support team that was not only running their marketing and providing kind of all the systems, the technical resources, and the training, but also we had consistent check-ins, especially early on, and we were very involved with our franchise owners. We provide them with coaches and field managers, to kind of go out there for the sole purpose of supporting them and helping them thrive in their business. So definitely see the pros outweighing any cons associated with it. And what's interesting, George, is we have a lot of existing business owners that get into franchising. Maybe they started a business, they've been successful, but the second time around or third time around, they say, hey, been there, done that. Would rather start on third base than first base and have a lot of the track already laid for me, to use your analogy. So we do see a lot of that. And what's right for that next season? So you kind of build out a portfolio. And we have some clients that like to buy, get into complementary type opportunities, like the real estate broker client of mine that just bought a property management franchise. I mean, that's a very complementary business. But then we have others that are diversifying completely. We have a guy that has done very well in security alarm systems, built that company from scratch. Well, he just bought a roll-off dumpster business, things that have no We've had a lot of dentists buying oil changes. We had some dentists buying a big fence company recently. Things that are totally uncorrelated to their day-to-day.
It's interesting. And it's fascinating how, you know, you just listed off a number of things like, oh wow, there's actually franchises and there's companies that are doing all these things. And of course, why wouldn't there be? So is it common, you mentioned at a franchise that you were working with, that the better the franchises did, franchisors did, the better that everybody did. I'd like to hear a little bit more about that. And is it common for the master franchise to provide coaching to their franchisees?
It is very common. I'd say, again, part of it's the vetting process. There's over 4,000 brands out there in America, and we kind of cut out the food and the hospitality, the lodging. My humble belief is there are easier ways to make money. We certainly need the food guys, but you know, there are multiple reasons why I think there are better opportunities for my clients. And so you take out roughly half the market, and then we whittle it down even further. And we're looking at those franchisors that have a track record of providing the best support and to have produced the most successful franchisees. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what matters. And so we built those relationships. We're always adding to that portfolio, but over 600 brands, work with all the different top development groups across the country. And but a big focus is on those that have a heart and care about and built a culture to support the franchise owners. That's what it comes down to. It's not about them making money. And as a newer franchisor, I mean, that's not all franchisors reach 100 units, 100 locations. Only the good ones do. And yes, there's a lot of intel that we kind of pull into. And then, of course, we have the relationships on the back end as well.
100 sounds like a lot. Is that a lot, or is that the gold standard? Is that what?
Hey, Sal.
Hank, what's going on? We haven't worked a case in years.
I just bought my car at Carvana, and it was so easy. Too easy.
Think something's up?
You tell me. They got thousands of options.
Mm-hmm.
Found a great car at a great price.
Uh-huh.
And it got delivered the next day.
It sounds like Carvana just makes it easy to buy your car, Hank.
Yeah, you're right. Case closed.
Buy your car today on Carvana. Delivery fees may apply.
Yeah, I had a client. Actually, we've had 7 clients that have bought into a great gutter franchise system. You know, just incredible numbers behind it. You know, $6 billion industry. That's a system that went from 20 locations to over 250 locations in the past 2 years. So you can see this kind of growth, when you're doing things the right way and you've got all the pieces in place. But quite a few franchisors, will never get to that 100 location, 100 mark. And maybe they just don't have the strong enough competitive advantages or the internal systems. And, I love what you said, discipline equals freedom. I absolutely agree with that. And I think you rise to the, you don't rise to the level of your goals, you fall to the level of your systems to kind of go along with that thinking. And franchising is all about systems and processes. I mean, end of the day, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah. So are there I'm sure that there are characteristics of people that are successful doing this. You mentioned dentists. These are people that appreciate the technical knowledge and then showing up every day and cleaning the teeth and doing all the things. But what are some of those through lines that you say, yep, you're a person who's probably going to be good at this?
Yeah. So I'm a member of the Entrepreneurs Organization, EO, and we've placed a lot of EO clients. These are people that have built their own businesses. We've placed a lot of them in franchises. However, there's some of those, some EO members have to explain, you're too entrepreneurial. Franchising would not be a good fit. You've got to put your thumbprints all over it. You would not fit in well here. The majority, I'd say, do like franchising for all the reasons I listed, but there's some that just wouldn't work out. But what's interesting, George, is I'd say probably 1/3 of our clients are looking to leave a corporate job and run the day-to-day operations. Probably 2/3 are looking to keep their job. And maybe it's corporate. Maybe it's, we work with a lot of doctors, a lot of lawyers. Maybe they want to keep a day job. They've got a few extra hours a week that they can dedicate to, kind of a side hustle and put a manager in place. And I'd say that's probably 2/3 of our clients. I mean, that's really been an increasing part of the business. And we call it semi-passive or an executive model. Nothing's entirely passive. However, there again, with that franchisor support, and you put a good manager in place, it is very doable to go about it that way. And so to kind of get back to your original question, one of the most common things is just the willingness to follow a system. And that sounds cliche, but when I was a franchisor and I saw all these franchise owners across North America all operating very similar businesses, our top franchisees were always those that followed the system the most closely. And again, that sounds like something a franchisor would say, but it was absolutely true. Those that didn't try to get too creative and market to the wrong segments or hire, you know, pay their people way too much. I mean, you have baselines for all of this. And we kind of help explain, here's the best way to do it. Either follow us or don't follow us. For those that are willing to follow, and, you know, military veterans, others that are very disciplined, you know, willing to kind of adhere to it are the best ones.
Yeah. And that's one right there where I bet people say, oh yeah, sure, John, I could totally follow along. I can totally do that. But you need to be really honest with yourself, because if you're not actually that person, if you do want to put your fingerprints all over something, or if you're not going to be willing to, for whatever reason, just wake up and do the same thing every day, it's probably not going to be a fit.
Yeah, which is totally fine. And that's how some people are wired. But, you know, I look at, you know, a client of mine, Nathan Bocock, over in South Carolina, 40 years old, largest franchisee of Two Men in a Truck Moving Service. Well, he operates in 12 markets now. And every year he and I do a deal together. And he, in each case, he puts a young 27 or so year old guy in charge, somebody he knew from church or the community, and says, hey, go make us proud, and gives him a little bit of equity. And every deal that we've done together, he's come back and bought additional locations within the first year. I mean, just been highly successful. And, you know, for him, it's, hey, I love the franchise world and be able to step in and plug and play. And I don't have to put my fingerprints all over it.
How common is that of bringing somebody in and giving a little bit of equity? And what is a little bit of equity commonly?
Yeah. So, you know, it runs the gamut. You know, franchises that I've owned, you know, we've let people buy into the equity, you know, typically up to 20%. And, you know, there's some caveats. If they were to leave, then, you know, does it vest? I mean, we have all those stipulations in there, but everyone has a different approach. You know, some recognize that equity isn't everything. Let's incentivize them based on profitability and make it act like equity, but not true equity, you know, keep the cap table clean. Then others, you know, in case of Nathan, I mean, he'll go very generously from the get go. And he's done it very well. So different trains of thought around it. There's not one that's right or wrong. I think it's very individualized and kind of, you know, you bring your long-term perspective in as far as the role you want to play and how long you see this person staying.
Is that coaching that a franchise will provide to their franchisees commonly?
You know, they will help them find that manager oftentimes to some degree. They'll explain, here's the best path to go around, here's the backgrounds we found to be successful. They will train that manager for you. You can send, I mean, we've done that with our franchise. We'll send the manager off to training, let the franchisor spend a week with them and train them up, which is a huge benefit. But as far as how you incentivize them, they'll give some recommendations, but it's really up to you. I mean, they don't meddle too much in that. You know, that is something that actually, Nathan is the client I just mentioned, is now doing some consulting for us. You know, and his time is extremely valuable, but we actually fund his coaching several hours for each of our clients once they make it through the process, just kind of help them get off to a great start.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. So when somebody picks up a copy of Non-Food Franchising, what are they getting themselves into?
Yeah, you know, we try to make it very readable and understandable, this world of franchise. You know, how do you find the right franchise? What are the what does the investment look like? What does that include? What are the expected returns? How do we understand the franchise disclosure document and, you know, the FDD as it's known? You know, what are some of those things that we found to be most successful? And then we also compare franchising versus just a startup. You know, what are the trade-offs both ways? Franchising versus acquisition, you know, if you were to acquire a business. We also talk about those with an existing business. You know, does it make sense to franchise it? You know, what are the pros and cons around that? And so, yeah, we cover a whole lot of different topics. We talk about the ownership styles. We talk about the types of industries, which you mentioned this earlier, but it is fascinating when you understand the types of businesses you never think about. And wait a minute, that's a franchise. I didn't realize that. So we talk about the different types of industries, what's resonating with different backgrounds. And yeah, really excited about the book. Just got it out there 2 months ago. We've had incredible feedback so far. And George would love to provide a free digital copy to all of your listeners as well. So yeah, if anyone comes out to our website, franbridgeconsulting.com, share your name, email address. We'll get you both an audio as well as a digital download for free of the book. So, and then more than happy to jump on a call as well and kind of talk through what it would look like to engage. It's entirely free for our clients to work with us. There's no cost at all. We're funded by the brands. It's a great model, but more than happy to help in any way we can.
What does that engagement typically look like? Somebody goes on, picks up a copy of the book. They say, this is great. Click contact us. You set up a call. Walk me through sort of how that process looks.
Yeah, we'll jump on a 20-minute call. We'll talk through a little bit about your background, what your thoughts are on franchising. We'll try to help fill in some gaps in the knowledge. And if it makes sense to engage from there, and now's the time, good timing for you to explore opportunities, then from there, I'll have you fill out a brief questionnaire. I'll share some additional resources with you. We'll actually send a physical copy of the book over to you as well. But then from there, next thing we're doing is we're teeing up opportunities. We're sending you a video in which we pull together the top 10 or 12 opportunities in your market to fit what you're describing, as well as what we see resonating with others with similar backgrounds that have already met all of our criteria and have that availability in your market. So from there, you would say, hey, here are the three or four that seem most intriguing. We make the introduction to the franchise brand. And then the brand, you'll go through a series of calls with them, in which you'll dig through the financials. You'll talk to other owners, hear about their experience. You get all your questions answered. Just a whole number of different topics. And, at any point you can hit pause and say, hey, John, that's not going to be the right one for me. Totally fine. And, it can be an iterative process where we go back and look at additional opportunities we didn't start with. But we're going to start, what happens, George, is two or three calls in, you start building this framework in your mind of, here's what I'm looking for. Here's what makes sense. Here's what doesn't make sense. And I mean, we've just had a huge success rate at being able to place clients with great opportunities. And then we see them coming back and buying additional locations. That's where we get our validation. But we hold our clients' hand through the process and have a series of touch base calls and help them understand the funding piece. If they need to get a franchise attorney to review the agreements, we have all those resources for them.
Excellent. Well, John, thank you so much for coming back on. Where can people learn more about you? Give us the website again.
Yeah, come out to franbridgeconsulting.com. That's F-R-A-N, bridgeconsulting.com. Sign up for our free monthly newsletter. We put out some great content. I will also then send you a digital copy of our book, as I shared. And, now is the time to take the next step and dedicate a few hours to exploring opportunities. We'd be happy to engage.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show John your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to franbridgeconsulting.com. F-R-A-N, bridgeconsulting.com. Get your free copy of the ebook, Non-Food Franchising. Sign up for the newsletter and schedule that initial call and begin the process of figuring out if this is the right fit for you. Thanks again, John.
Enjoy it, George. Thanks.
And until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.